you. Thank you, Solange. Hey, let's give a hand to the worship team. Great job, guys. Thank you. Hey, I love that you guys are here. You know, fighting against, not fighting, but just going against the tradition of hundreds of years of carnival where people go in Brabant and say, look, you know, today is carnival day. It's a challenge, but I love that you guys made a decision to say, well, today is carnival day, but the most important thing is church day. It's church day. It's a day that we come to celebrate, come to worship, come to do life together. So that's very important. And I believe that, you know, the next season is coming. The kids are having fun. They put together a party for them because we believe the next generation, it's where our focus should be, because they are the future of the nation. They are the future of all the country. And the most important thing, they are the future of church. You know, if we all get together, we're all going gray and white like I am, then it's going to be in danger. But I'd love to see that church is growing. We have so many kids back there playing and having fun, putting value into kids. You know, we live in a generation where people don't put value into the next generation. Where people say like, oh, you know, kids is sort of like, oh yeah, it's a byproduct. We don't want, you know, it's sort of like we put them somewhere else to be busy, but we don't speak life into them. We don't tell them, hey, you are amazing. You've been created for a future. You know, you have a talent and God has given you something. So I want to encourage you as church, together, when we have these events, let's just speak to kids. You know, they're awesome. They're loud. They run around. They have a lot of energy, and that's why God created us to be. So I think that's amazing. But today I want to talk to you about something that I think is very important. We're going to keep on the series of Keep It Simple and how life, sometimes we tend to do it very complex and to make a complex life instead of going into the principles that God really created us. In a way, it's like, you know, the life is not that complex when we put it together. It is full of challenges and difficulties, but also full of really good things. But today I'm going to talk to you about something that is important. And the title of the message is, What's Cooking? You know, what is cooking? And a lot of times we go through life, especially now, new generations, millennials, you know, they believe that everything in life should be like a microwave. You know, you go, or like McDonald's Happy Meal, drive-through food. So everything in life should be easy and quick. You know, as my students always do at the university, they was like, oh, how can I get this quicker? How can I get this easier? How can I make it just straight away? Can you give me the digested version of it? And I always say, no, because you have to go through life in a different way so that you can learn something that is not only the outcome that you want to learn, but it's more about building character. And now sometimes we go through life thinking, oh, I want the easy attention. God, I want a boyfriend. And I want it like this, like this, like this. And I want it now. And then you're like, you know, you have conversations with people. Oh, I've been waiting for a boyfriend. I've been waiting for so long. Or really, how long have you been praying for? 15 days. And you're like, what? 15 days? Come on. You know, that's nothing. Just we need to learn in life that we can wait, because the best things in life take a long time. I don't know if you have the experience, but, you know, and that's why it's called What's Cooking, because a nice, warm cook meal, you know, the roast that you put on the oven. In Mexico, when grandmas and grandpas cook, it's the same as in other cultures. In Mexico, I'm originally from Mexico, but it's normal, 4 hours in the kitchen, you know, preparation, and you have there, and you have to let it rest, and let it be there for a little bit, let it simmer until the flavors go together. And then you put the next additional thing, and then you have to let it rest for a day, and then cook it the next day, because the next day is going to be even better, and the tastes and the flavors come through together. And sometimes, I believe, God has put us in exactly the same way. God has created the best things in life to be about a long-term roast cooking, where people need to simmer. And they need to get the flavor. And they need to get the taste. But sometimes we want, again, the happy meal. The Happy Meal effect. God, I want this, and if you don't give it to me now, then I'm going to look for it. And then we go into like, oh, you know what? God, give me that job. And if you don't give me that job, then I'm going to look for it. I'm going to do everything I can. And then you end up placed in a job that it was not even the best for you. But because we were not able to wait and say, you know what? I'm going to wait. And I'm going to wait until I'm simmered and I'm ready for it. Then I can move on. And it happens in all the important things in life. Who am I going to marry? Oh, I want to get married. God, I want to get married. And you don't send me the right person. And you know, I'm thinking, you know what? I mean, we're doing a seminar on relationships. We were creating relationships because I've been speaking a lot. Netflix is now trying to teach our kids and our generation how to do relationships, especially how to do sex and relationships and intimacy and all this. And I'm telling you, it's the worst thing you can get out of Netflix, the education about how to do this thing. The Bible has amazing principles. So we're going to talk about principles about how to do life together and relationships and all that. But when you're finding this, if you go quick into the Happy Meal, then you're just going to like, oh, this one is the one. That's the one I'm going to hook onto you. And everyone around you is telling you, why the heck are you going on with this guy? Or why the heck are you going out with this girl? And you say like, oh, because this is the last one I found. So it's the Happy Meal. And the Happy Meal has sometimes very nice toys, but sometimes come with really bad toys. You know, and in life, if you treat life like Happy Meal, you may end up with a very good toy, but you might end up with a horrible toy. And you keep it for life. And let's see how you go. You know, you might end up with a relationship or a job or something in life or a dream that it was not God's dream. Because we were not patient to say, okay, what's cooking? And I'm telling you today, if you're going through a tough time, if you're going through a difficult time in your relationship, or if you're going through a difficult time at school, or if you're going through a difficult time yourself internally, the question that we need to have is, God, what are you cooking in my life? Because everything is about character. Challenges is about character. Going through difficulties is about building character. And that's what God wants us to do. Because I can tell you, life is not about arrivals. Life and the fun of life is about the process of going through it. But we've been told all the time, the quicker you get, the best arrival. And when you get in that moment, that's success. That's when people are going to be happy. And if you get this, if you get the car, then you reach it. If you get the house, then you reach it. And if you get this, and then you end up getting it, and just like a Happy Meal, you have the toy, and now you're bored. Because you didn't know that the toy was not the purpose. It was the journey to get that was the best. You have the best girl, and then you think, oh, you know, now what? But now you have to say, hey, how can you make yourself better for that girl that you have? Or how can you make yourself better for that boy that you have? And it's a journey forever and forever. So I want to tell you today, if something is going on wrong in your life, if something is difficult in your life, you have to ask God, what are you cooking? You know, are you simmering something in my life? Are you simmering something in my spirit? And are you making the flavor going into it so I can grow together and I can do something? So I'm going to tell you a couple of things that we can learn about one of the heroes of the Bible, about life processes. And we're going to talk about the life of Joseph. Because Joseph was a clear example of what's cooking. You know, person that has amazing dreams, amazing sense of purpose, amazing sense of knowledge. But if you go through his life, you see that God needs to have something cooking. Because otherwise, if he would have gotten the dream that he had when he was 17, straight away, you know, like the millennials would do. God, I want to be a manager. I'm 17, but I want to be a manager. You know that if you become a manager at 17, you're going to ruin your life? And someone else's too. There's a reason why we need to go through a process. Because we need to grow into the character building. So I'm going to talk to you about a few of the phases of life or the phases of the process that Joseph had to move. And I believe we need to do the same. So the first phase, the number one step that we need to go through. I don't know what I don't know. You know, when we are going through life, a lot of the times we want to say, oh, I know everything. And, you know, just talk to a 19-year-old. Yeah, I know,
Yeah, I know how to do this. Yeah, I'm the best at this. When you're 19, you think, oh, yeah, I'm the best. I can do everything. There's no problem. I know better. You know, you might tell me something. I know better. And Joseph was exactly the same. So if you read in the Bible, I'm going to read in English. In Dutch, it's going to be there because it's too long. But in Genesis 37:3, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him at his old age. So he was the little baby, the favored one at home. You know, how many of you are the little baby's favorite ones? Yeah, none of you. Eh? Yeah, sure. I'm sure there's a little baby favorite one here, you know. But and made him an ornate to rob him. So he gave it a robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told this to his brothers, they hated him even more. And if you read a little bit further in the verse 7, we were binding sheaves of grain out of the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood up upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all more because of his dream and what he had said. So Joseph went through the dream, and he went to a position when he was 17 to say, I know better. I have big dreams. Oh, you don't know who you're talking to. You're going to bow down to me. I'm going to see you better. And sometimes in life, we tend to say, oh, we know better, you know. Oh, you know, maybe that's not the best relationship for you. Oh, I know better. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Or maybe, this is not the right track that you have to do. Or maybe you should do something different with your marriage. Can you, you know, and then people can say like, but I know better. So I know what I don't know is a very important phase. When you understand that sometimes we just need to listen and wait from God, from wise counsel around us, and for someone that loves us to say, hey, you know what? I think God has something better for you. Because if not, we end up with the Happy Meal version of it. You know, someone can tell us, oh, you look at this. God wants an amazing toy for you. Look, this is the best. You know, it's all electronic, and it's going to be amazing. And we just go and say, no, I want the Happy Meal one. Because it's quick, it's you know, I have it. And that's the problem we can have. You can say, I know what I don't know. And that's the first phase in life that we have to go through when we say, you know what, God? I know I have big dreams. I know I have a lot of potential. I know I have a lot of talents, but I'm going to give them to you. Instead of talking everyone down and saying, I know better, I'm going to say, okay, maybe it's time to lay it down and let you work in me so I can grow into something better. And maybe you're here and you have a big dream. You're going to become the next Bill Gates, hopefully, because, you know, generous people in church. Bill Gates, beautiful, welcome. You know, we believe that someone has a big dream, but then you have to learn to listen to others around you because otherwise you can have the quick version, not the what's cooking version, quick and nasty and it's not the best. But then the next phase, the second phase, I know what I don't know. This is very interesting. Joseph goes to this character. And, you know, he starts saying, oh, you're going to be down with me. I'm the best. You know, my daddy loves me more than you. You know, he was cocky. He was not. Sometimes we can see it as like, oh, poor Joseph. No, he actually brought it up himself a little bit. You know, telling people, oh, I'm going to be better than you. I'm going to do bigger things than you. You know, and so he had to go through a process where God had to teach him character, humility, and more important, perseverance. It didn't matter that the dream was big. It mattered that he kept the dream alive, even when circumstances were against him. So if you go on the phase two, I know what I don't know, is when you realize in life that you don't know everything, that you need someone else's help in order to do life better. You know, and in Genesis 37:27, it says, come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. So this happens to Joseph. Eh? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay down our hands on him. They wanted to kill him. So they said, well, let's not kill him. Let's just be nice brothers and sell him as a slave. You know, and after all, his brothers agree. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him out to Egypt. And then, you know, another thing that happened to him later. And after a while, his master's wife took notice on Joseph. So Joseph ends up in the house of Potiphar, which is sort of one of the most important governors there in the Egyptian Empire. And they gave him everything again. And now the wife wants to something with him, because the Bible says he was good looking. You know, if you're good looking and smart and good dreams, imagine, that's perfect. Almost like me. No, not at all. But you know, if you're like that, then and then the wife goes like, oh yeah, come to bed with me. You know, let's watch Netflix and chill. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, but Joseph was there in the prison. So go through life to say, you know what, I have no clue what this happened to me. It's not fair. Life is not fair. Now people are treating me bad. Now people are saying things about me at work. Now that I have this big dream, things are not happening my way. And that's when God starts simmering something in you to say, you know what, the dream is big. But the question is, are you ready for it? Have you built the character that requires you to do this? Your business is not going very well right now. Well, are you really believing God for the best? Are you really believing God that he can make it happen? You know, he was put in jail after that. After he was going well, again, he was put in jail. So sometimes we think, oh, now this is the one. This is the good thing that is happening in my life. And again, something happens in your life. And then you say, oh, you know what? God is up to you. It's your life, it's not my life. And we tend to be in control and trying to say, oh, I need to get out of this. But we just have to say, God, you need to get me out of this. I'm going to hold on to the dream. I'm going to hold on to the passion. And I'm going to make sure that I keep going. And then we move to phase three. And the phase three is, I know and grow and starts to show. So I know and I grow and it starts to show. It's the phase when we start saying, you know what? Life is not fantastic all the time. Life is going to be a challenge. My relationship is going to be a hard work, challenging thing. But best things in life take time. The best things in life take a lot of work. So now Joseph finds himself now again in a great position. You know, in Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the houses of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was putting him and that the Lord gave him his success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. So Potiphar, which was the master, put him on top of everything. And then later on, he goes to prison. And it says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison guard. So the guard put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison. Imagine how amazing that we know who we are in Christ, and it starts to show. In our work, we're the most positive people. You know, life can be going wrong at work and things might not go well, but you are the most positive one that says, you know what, it's going to be challenging, but we're going to go through it. Or you know what, wife, husband, it's challenging, but we're going to go through it and we're going to see it happening. Or you know what, university is tough. Well, let's study hard and let's make it happen, because there's going to go something better. It's going to come out of it. Because when we know who we are, it's going to start to show. And the way it starts to show is that you're kinder than many others. You're more positive than many others. You speak life instead of death. You speak life instead of criticism. Because life is about us showing what we believe God has called us to do and to develop something that is even bigger. So when you start simmering, you know, a flavor, you can come to a house. You know, I don't know if you've been to your grandma's house. You come in and it's something smells beautiful. And you think like, wow, this is grandma's, you know, amazing dish. It's my favorite dish. And you know that grandma has been cooking there for three because it smells beautiful. And my question is, how do we smell? Not do this. That's, you know. But how do you smell? Can people know that you've been simmering in God's word? Can people know that you've been simmering in his promising, in the promises? Or they might say, oh, you know what? You say that you're Christian, but if you're a Christian, then I don't want to be like you. Because Job is negative, you never show up on time, you don't do your work the best you can, you know. So I don't want to be like you. But God has called us to be simmering in his presence. And the last phase that we go when we're simmering, it's I simply go because of what I know. You know what is funny about life? That sometimes we make it so complex, but in reality it's so simple. It's about knowing that God is with us even when there's a challenge. It's about knowing and trusting in his presence, in his faith and his power. And once we know that, it's I simply go because of what I know. So that's when we do that, is when we grow in character and say, you know what? The challenge might be too hard, the difficulties, the uncertainty might be there, but you know what? I'm going to go for it because I know God is behind me. I know I can do it. I'm afraid of what I have to do. You might be, you know, giving you a position when they say, like, hey, you know what? Now you're ready to be a manager. And you inside, you say, like, oh, I'm not being a manager. How can I do that? But you know what? God is with you. Or you're ready to be a father. You know that no one's ready to be a father? No one. Even if you say, like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. How many of you parents say, like, when your kids were born, you say, like, oh, yeah, I got it all together. Yeah. Some of you maybe. But, you know, when you know that you're pregnant, the first thing that happens, especially to guys, is like, oh, no. You know, like, I'm happy, but, what am I going to do? You know, it's life. What am I going to do? Moms are better because they go like, oh, it's fine, my kid, you know. Still the fear, but it's different. But guys, you know, dads are like, oof, let's see if I can go, you know. If I can go, do it. But you know what? The best things in life require this simmering time, this process of getting ready. And that's what happened to Joseph. So Joseph goes after 13 years. For those that says, I haven't found a boyfriend or girlfriend in 6 months, hey, come to me. I'll tell you, wait 13 years. No, I don't know. You know, we believe quicker. In Jesus' name, we believe guys are going to put themselves and say, like, come on, I'll be quicker. But anyways, we're going to move on. But you know, Joseph goes, and all of a sudden, God puts Joseph in a position when he says that now the Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, God has made all these known to you. There is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh the king. So Joseph went through a process of what's cooking. He had the dream. He knew what he was called to do. But then he didn't know how to get there. He thought, oh, he knew he was going to be the best. But then God put him through a process where he said, no, hold on. It's not your time then. No, it's not your time. It doesn't mean not now. It doesn't mean not ever. It means not now. Why? Because you need to simmer. You need to simmer in me. You need to gain confidence. You need to know better that I am with you and I am working through you. And then after that, he gets put in little pockets of responsibility. And he starts doing it well. And he starts doing the best he can. And he starts being faithful with his dream and his passion. And all of a sudden, one day, it takes one day, one dream. All of a sudden, a lot of people might think, oh, we're just lucky. It was just coincidence. You know what? We don't believe in that. We believe we've been called. We've been prepared. And when God says, now is the time, he just makes it happen. And today I want to tell you, maybe your dream is being like, you know, I want to get married. Or your dream is being, oh, I want to have a business. Or I want to be the best husband or wife. Or I want to have, you know, this passion at the university and being one of the best students. But you've been challenged after challenge after challenge. You know what the best thing you can do? Is to say, God, is not through my power, not through my strength, it's through you. And I'm going to let me simmer. And I'm going to keep working and being faithful with what you give me. And then, after then, when you're ready, when you are ready, God, I'll be ready. You know, one of the best things that I've been told when I was young, when I was around 12, is that you have to have always a preaching message ready, always. When I was 12. And I was writing, like, oh, yeah, oh, you know, 12, what the heck do I preach about? You know, Transformers or, you know, Hot Wheels? You know, you put something together. But I've learned that because, not because that was the time, but because God knew that someday you will have to be prepared. And it took, you know, I'm 44 now. And it took years and years that you think, oh yeah, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. Maybe not going to happen. Maybe it's not even the calling. Maybe it was just a dream. But when God says, I've called you, He knows the best time. And you might push yourself to it and it's not going to happen. But God will bring it because He knows what's cooking. And the question today is, what are you smelling like? Are you smelling like this roast that is simmering and say, like, everyone comes around you and says, like, whoa, you smell amazing. Your spirit is incredible. Your passion, your desire. You're responsible for what you do. I want to be around you. I want to be just like you. Or are you trying to make it happen by yourself? So when we keep this atmosphere, I want to ask you that question. Are you ready to let God simmer? Are you ready to let God work on yourself and to let your passion? So I want to pray for you, for some of you that might think, oh, you know what? I've been waiting too long. It's not happening for me. I want to pray for you right now to say, hey, you know what? God is doing something. He is cooking something in you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, because you put a dream in every single one of us. We thank you because you put that passion, that sense of purpose somehow. And we declare right now, God, that if there's someone here in this room that maybe thought one day, oh, you know, it's not going to happen anymore. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. It was just a dream. We pray in Jesus' name right now that you come that dream into life again. That people will start having dreams again and passion. And if there's someone here that is feeling out there, maybe fearful, like, oh, I should do this, I shouldn't do this, we just speak in Jesus' name that you will give them that certainty that of what they're called to do in their lives, God. And we also pray, God, for those that have been told you cannot do it. For those that have been told that that's not possible. We pray in Jesus' name that your word says it is possible through you, not through us. And we declare right now, God, that if there's people here that are simmering, that are cooking, God, give us the patience to go through the cooking process. Give us the patience to go through life, knowing that you have the best for us. And God, let us trust and be plugged to you, because you are the one that knows in one instant things are going to happen. In Jesus' name, we pray that this week that comes, in one instant, things are going to happen. Lives are going to be transformed. New dreams are going to be renewed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And when we're here, we always make this invitation. If you're here for the first time, or maybe you've been here a couple of times, we always make an invitation for everyone. We believe that the only way that we can live a life that is connected to our purpose, the only way, is to connect ourselves with our Creator through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way that we can say, you know what? I am connected. I have a big calling. And this is not about religion at all. It's all about relationships. So when we have all our eyes closed, I want to make an invitation. If you've been here for the first time, or you've been a couple of times, but you never made a decision, I want to ask you to make a decision today to let Jesus be in your heart and welcome Him and speak purpose, love, and the future to your life. So if there's anyone here, I want to make this invitation right now. At the count of three, if you can lift up your hand. God loves you and wants the best. One. Two. There's no better dreams than what God, His Creator, can give you. You cannot have bigger dreams than He has. And three, if you want to make that decision, thank you. If you would like, if there's anyone else that would like to make a decision today, God, Jesus, loves you. He wants the best for you. And the only thing it requires you is to make a decision to go for Him. Thank you. You can put your hand down.